Good evening. Welcome to The Buck Stops Here. I'm Vishnu Shom. On the program tonight, as raids continue on DK Shivkumar, the Congress leader entrusted with looking after the Gujarat MLAs, shifted to Karnataka ahead of the Rajya Sabha elections in Gujarat. We ask, are investigating agencies being used as tools in the proxy war between Amit Shah and Ahmed Patel ahead of the absolutely critical Rajya Sabha polls in Gujarat? And later on in this program, while both India and China reiterate their desire for a solution to the Doklam standoff, India makes it clear that there has been no troop reduction in the disputed area east of Sikkim, contrary to a Chinese document which was released today. We'll get to that in a moment, but first, our top story, 11 crores and counting. That's how much cash has reportedly been found during raids on one of Karnataka's most powerful Congress ministers, DK Shivakumar, at 39 locations across Delhi and Karnataka. Now, pictures have been released of the cash found, but there is now a huge political debate over the timing.
At least 11 crores, the Income Tax Department says it recovered in raids at 39 locations connected to Congress MLA and Karnataka's Energy Minister, DK Shivakumar. Widely regarded as one of the Congress's main troubleshooters in Karnataka, was taken away by income tax officials this morning from the same resort, where for the last few days he has been keeping an eye on 43 Congress MLAs from Gujarat. These are MLAs the Congress sent to Bengaluru for safekeeping after six of its legislators switched to the BJP in Gujarat, making it very difficult for key Sonia Gandhi aide Ahmed Patel to win his Rajya Sabha seat from the state. The timing of the raids and the way they were done, the Congress alleges, reeks of a political witch hunt.
आप देखिए ये लॉबीज में जहां हम रुक रहे हैं, हम गुजरात चले जाते, उसके बाद इनके ऊपर रेड करते, तो क्या बिगड़ जाता था? अब टाइमिंग तो देखिए.
But income tax sources say the probe began after the IT department followed leads about Shivakumar putting unaccounted money into real estate and jewellery. It is suspected that he is the DKS referred to by a Congress leader in a diary related to kickback seized earlier this year.
किसी resort पे या किसी गुजरात के MLA पे कोई search tax department की नहीं हुई, उनसे कोई संपर्क नहीं हुआ. ये बात सच है कि कर्नाटक सरकार के एक मंत्री और उनके सहयोगियों के ऊपर कोई income tax की search हुई.
In Bengaluru, as the news became public, there were protests outside Shivkumar's upmarket home. These were fans of the country's second richest minister, upset about the raids against their star.
Even as the Congress protested in multiple locations in the city, crying vendetta politics, IT officials continued questioning the minister till late in the night. The minister has a declared asset value of more than 250 crores, and IT officials tell us that the magnitude and the variety of his business interest has meant that this raid has taken more time than usual to conclude.
Shivkumar's troubles couldn't have come at a worse time for the Congress in Karnataka. They need him as they head into elections in the state in a few months' time. Congress MLAs from Gujarat brought to this resort on the outskirts of Bengaluru for safekeeping. The minister charged with looking after them, Karnataka's DK Shivkumar, raided by income tax authorities and in fact picked up from this very resort. IT authorities say they were just following up on an ongoing investigation. The BJP says it's business as usual, but the Congress is crying foul over the timing of those raids. With Kumar Harish and Govind, Maya Sharma in Bengaluru for NDTV.
And my colleague Harish Upadhyay joins us now for the very latest on the story. Harish, are the raids continuing? What are the investigators saying? 11 crores is the amount which has apparently been recovered. Is there an expectation that more money may be recovered?
Well, absolutely. Even as we speak, the raids continue here at DK Shivkumar's residence in Sadashiv Nagar. It's been nearly 15 hours now. 4:30 in the morning, the team started out from the income tax offices and panned out to various locations. 60 locations is what the income tax department here telling us. The first one was around 7 o'clock at the Eagleton Resort where the minister was staying. And as you have rightly pointed out, a lot of cash has been recovered. But income tax officials here telling us that by the end of this entire search and seizure operation, this figure might go up. They are saying the figure of unaccounted income could go up, not just in cash, but other investments and immovable assets as well. That is something that's being looked at even as we speak. And the income tax officials telling us the fact that the minister has his investment or his business interest in so many sectors, whether it's having engineer colleges in education sector, mining, real estate, multiple sectors, has meant that they have to go through each of these investments and see if there is any unaccounted wealth. That's the reason it's taking more time than usual. And in all likelihood, we are told right now that this particular search operation and seizure operation also will continue for the second day tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, Harish, very much for joining us with that debate. Well, the question we're asking is it just a coincidence, the timing of these raids with these Congress MLAs being in Karnataka, being kept over there in safekeeping, so to speak? The same Congress MLAs will have a key role with the Rajya Sabha elections in Gujarat just a little while later on, a few days later. Joining us now to debate this, Dinesh Gundurao is the spokesperson of the Congress, Rakesh Sinha, the RSS ideologue with us, Aman Lekhi, senior advocate, Supreme Court, and Sanjay Hegde, senior advocate with the Supreme Court. Mr. Lekhi, let me come to you first. 11 crores and counting, that's the amount of money that's been found. And clearly, prima facie, there appears to be some sort of corruption over here. But the question a lot of people would ask is, what about the timing? Could this not have been done later? Could it not have been done earlier? Is there a message being sent out?
Well, there's a fallacy, post hoc, ergo propter hoc. Sequence doesn't necessarily mean causality. It's not because that the rooster crows that the sun rises. It just so happens the rooster may be crowing when the sun rises. Now, merely because the gentleman was in charge of the 48 MLAs over there, that by itself would not necessarily mean that he is not cannot come in law's net. And if there is unaccounted wealth, which he has concealed, provisions of the Income Tax Act cannot be invoked and he cannot be proceeded against. It's not the motive alone which is relevant in law. Motive does not in any way negate or neutralize the action. And insofar as the raid is concerned, the invocation of 132 is vindicated by the recovery of cash. Now, if supposing the raid had not actually resulted in this recovery, then vendetta politics could have been justified. Mm-hmm. But vendetta suggests an element of political repression. And political repression means extra constitutional and extra legal ways to in some way inhibit political activity. But you cannot claim a right to conduct political activity by illegitimate means. And if supposing unaccounted cash is found in a minister's home and he's got business interests, it's not disclosed, it is imperative that law takes its course and action is actually taken against him.
Dinesh Gundurao, the fact is that money has been located. So the fact that these recoveries have taken place, how much does that weaken your argument that there is political vendetta? This is undisclosed income. That's what the IT people are saying. How do you respond to this?
Vishnu, I think first of all, we're jumping to too many conclusions before. This is the first day of the IT raid, and we will not come in the way of the law. Let the IT raid, let them investigate, let them find out where was this money found, is it accounted for, unaccounted for, in whose house, in which all houses, because raids have taken place in some 35, 40 houses. Not just Mr. Shivkumar's place, but many other people who may have been connected to him, but whose money is it, what money is it, we don't know. So we're jumping to too many conclusions over here before even knowing what's exactly happened. But the issue over here is the timing, the conspiracy, and the way the central government is using agencies to malign and attack Congress leaders, and also what's happening in Gujarat, the background to it, and these people having come over here.
Mr. Lekhi had a point. He said that you could make these allegations if there were no recoveries. The fact is, recoveries have been made. It's not a small amount of money.
No, so I do not know what the recovery is.
There could be a case that could be made out.
See, I do not know. No, how do you know prima facie there's a case? We do not know. There's no authenticated information from the Income Tax Department which they've released, saying in this particular house, so much of money was found. In this particular house, in this one's property, I found so much. We do not know anything. We are just now discussing.
So are you saying that it was money that was planted? How did it get there? How did 11 crores? How did 11 crores get to these places?
No. How do you? I am just saying, let that all be decided in the investigation. Is it accounted for, unaccounted for, in whose house, in with whom was it found, how much exactly was found? Let that be decided
so
in the
investigation. So why do you believe there was still
no
a
issue?
Conspiracy? Yeah.
But there's a pattern to this. There's a pattern to this. If you see, Congress ministers, Congress leaders, opposition leaders have been selectively targeted by this government. Can you name one person of the BJP who's been targeted or who's been against whom they've taken action. Who have they taken action against?
No, you have a
point. There have been so many issues. Vasundhara Raje Sindhya, Raman Singh, Shivraj Singh Chauhan. But they target Mamata Banerjee, they target AAP, they target DMK, they target Congress. Anybody who is against the BJP comes
into the scandal. But they're targeting all of these people, assuming that they are targeting, doesn't necessarily imply that the people being targeted are innocent. That's a separate issue. But I do want to take that point mentioning to Rakesh Sinha.
They have booked cases on Sachin Pilot. They have booked cases against Mr. Ashok Gelot. They have booked cases against They have booked cases against Mr. Chidambaram.
Okay, Rakesh Sinha, come to this. You know,
but
Mr. Rao does make a point
politics
that there is a disproportionate number of the point that he's trying to make is that it's disproportionate. It's not fair the way it's all taking place. What about BJP leaders? Is enough being done by this government? For example, the Panama Papers, allegedly Raman Singh's son on the radar, has enough been done? Question mark there. The UP government is denied permission to prosecute the UP Chief Minister Yogi Adityanath in the alleged 2007 hate speech that he may have made. The PDS scam, the Chhattisgarh Chief Minister Raman Singh is accused in this massive scam. Has enough action taken place? Vyapam scam, the Sharda scam with Himanta Biswa Sarma, the Lalit Modi Rajay scandal. So these are instances when it can be argued that action has not been taken against the BJP. Instead, there is this massive list I could also read out on when action has been taken against the opposition. How do you respond to that? There's a bias.
You are asking me?
Yes, Mr. Sinha.
Look, we are discussing here a particular raid, and the Congress is trying to save his skin under the conspiracy theory of vendetta politics. You know, in Pakistan, Nawaz Sharif was removed due to corruption. And even the failed civil society of Pakistan had not reacted as the Congress is reacting. In fact, Congress had developed a special lawless way of life. They considered that without corruption and without power, they are unsure of their existence. That's why they are fighting. You know, the ends justify the means. As far as coincidence is concerned, I'm telling you, Income Tax Department, CBI's raids are based on an auspicious moment. That is in Hindi we call Shubh Muhurt. In marriage, we search a particular date. Here the Income Tax Department or other agencies look for a particular date when you are unsure of raids. If you are sure that someone is going to raid, then you will destroy your paper, destroy your confidential things. So I don't buy the Congress people or their supporters that it was vendetta politics.
Okay.
You know, Lalu Yadav's families, there were raids, and the Income Tax Department and other agency found things. Here there is a raid, 11 crore rupees. The Karnataka, you just see the below poverty line.
No, but you still haven't answered the question.
Raman Singh, you are comparing with Vyapam. You know, there is an investigation on Vyapam. There is an investigation on Vyapam under the court.
No, but there is an investigation in all of these cases, but so much more seems to have been done in the case of the opposition or against these opposition leaders than the BJP. That's an allegation. I want to put that across to Mr. Hegde. Mr. Hegde, I read out all of these cases. I won't bore our viewers by reading out more. The point being that BJP leaders and their allies haven't been, quote-unquote, targeted in action by these investigators, as have opposition leaders. Now, this isn't to say the opposition leaders are innocent and things like that. They are incorruptible. I'm not making that suggestion. I'm only making the point over here that this is all being done selectively. Would you agree?
Well, to answer, let me cite James Bond. The first time it can be happenstance. The second time it can be coincidence. The third time it is definitely enemy action. You just take the number of people across a various spectrum of activities who have been targeted by the tax and other enforcement authorities. You take your own channel to begin with, that's one. You take Teesta Settlewad, that's two. Then you take any number of Congress leaders at crucial times. You take the Veerbhadra Singh in Himachal, who was raided by the income tax authorities when his daughter was getting married. Don't tell me that we live in a fairy tale world where the income tax authorities act independently without being pushed at crucial points of time. The income tax authorities are merely one more weapon in the armory of enforcement and compliance that this government uses. I have given you examples over three different professions. So whoever is inconvenient to the government, please, there will be a time when the income tax or enforcement or somebody will come after you.
Rakesh Sinha, you had a point before I go back to Mr. Lekhi. Go ahead, Mr. Sinha, quickly.
No, my point is that you are trying to justify corrupt people and culture of corruption because they are anti-BJP people. Question is not the BJP or anti-BJP. Question is that if the raids are being taken place...
Nobody is justifying corruption. That's not the issue. What is the result?
Nobody is saying
let corruption get away.
How you are justifying it? Why are you...
But sir, we are not. We are not justifying corruption.
The income tax department?
Those who are corrupt should be jailed. Action needs to be taken against them. It is how instruments of the state, like the IT, CBI, 40 MLAs are going after people. Sir, they are going after people. That is different from the courts of law following a natural, normal path.
There are cases... My fundamental question is that they have been in power for decades. They have been in power for decades. And therefore, they are the kings of corruption.
Vishnu.
And if the raids are taking place, why Mr. Hegde is justifying? He is, in a way, endorsing the culture of corruption. Don't make a binary between BJP and Congress as far as corruption is concerned.
I am not justifying. I am only pointing out... More than coincidence.
Sir, you are endorsing by you are just endorsing the vendetta. Where is the
Aman
vendetta?
Aman Lekhi, would you like to come in over here?
MLAs were
not arrested.
Vishnu, I'd like to make one comment here.
Indira Jai Singh, NDTV.
Let's keep NDTV out of this because it's subjudice and I can't get into that. But let's look at this from a political standpoint.
Can you justify Tista Setalwad?
Mr. Rao, one moment, Mr. Rao had a point, then I'll go back to Mr. Lekhi. Mr. Rao, go ahead.
No, Vishnu, Mr. Rakesh Sinha speaks in such a nice manner. I mean, it reeks of hypocrisy because he is trying to say that there is not a single BJP person who is corrupt in this country. There is no need to go after them because they are all very clean. It's just the Congress people and other opposition people who are corrupt, and we are taking action against them. So why are you defending this? We are not defending. If Shivkumar is guilty, let them hang him. Let them take action. But repeatedly, even in Karnataka, this is the fourth raid in Karnataka against our senior leaders. Elections are coming close, and even in the previous raids, there was a huge hue and cry. After 2 months, it all fizzled out. So you know this is a strategy being used by BJP to malign and to instill fear that anybody who talks against the BJP in this country, we will go after you. Do not open your mouth. Because today the Prime Minister, Mr. Modi and Mr. Amit Shah, they are running a mafioso kind of a system.
Okay,
if you talk against them,
I want to go across to Aman Lekhi because I wanted to look at
this. We will go behind you. So this is the state of affairs in this country today.
Mr. Sir, one moment. Rakesh ji, I want to go across to Mr. Lekhi. Mr. Lekhi, there are those who would say that let's look at the political timing of all of this. There are these very important Rajya Sabha elections about to take place in Gujarat. The Congress party has already lost a bunch of its leaders. There are Karnataka elections which will be coming up in a finite period of time. That irrespective of what happens as far as recoveries are made, this is all being done to send a signal. The signal being, don't mess with us. That's what the Congress party would perhaps argue, that these instruments which the government has, the ED, the CBI, the IT, it's all being done to threaten these leaders. For example, these leaders are being told, look, you better support us otherwise or else. How would you respond to this allegation?
No, abuse of power in any circumstance for any reason is something completely unjustified. Insofar as the issue in India is concerned, the problem is want of constitutional morality. And the reason why there is little constitutional morality is that the practices and conventions which have been current for a very long period of time, and that too because of the manner in which Congress has ruled this country and subverted every institution, has perpetuated us into conditioning us into accepting corruption. I find a bit of hypocrisy here because insofar as sending of the team, because issues have been raised that CRPF has been sent, The point which is missed is that this there was an Article 257A which was introduced by the Congress into the Constitution, which mandated that central agencies be sent to the state. When Janata Party came back in 77, they sought to amend it and they deleted 257A. But the entry 2A in the list, which actually provided for this deputation, the Congress had opposed at that point of time. And it's for that reason that entry 2 is still in the Constitution. And today, Mr. Digvijay Singh says it is unconstitutional to send CRPF there. I am not in any way taking sides on this political controversy. The problem is that this is endemic. And the issue which you are raising is because there is a complete disbelief in the institutional integrity in our country. And the disbelief in institutional integrity in the country taints even measures which would otherwise be justified, as the case at hand, wherein unaccounted cash has been found because of its being discredited by a dishonest motive. I personally think it's time that we change our attitude and in fact are open to scrutiny. And when issues like these come, instead of indulging in competitive politics and say, I did it and you did it too, and why not me and why not you, we have to deal with this and said, yes, this is wrong and this has to be corrected. And you have to deal with all people similarly situated with equal severity.
And Mr. Hegde, you would perhaps argue that you cannot deal equally with equal severity because of the system itself. The system that Mr. Lekhi talks about there being disbelief in the system.
No.
The system doesn't work.
I quite welcome what Aman said. They deal with it with equal severity. You had the income tax department raiding Birla Sahara. There were documents out there. What happened to that investigation? Did you investigate further? I'm sorry. This is where selectivism comes in.
No, this is the problem.
It's all very nice understand. To mount big things that, you know.
No,
it
is. You see, you can't cherry pick.
No. Aman, I did not interrupt you. Aman,
Mr. Lekhi, I'll come to you next. So let him make his point.
Please hold your horses. Aman, this is exactly what selective use of institutions is about. Secondly, just one point of information, since I'm from Karnataka. D.K. Shivkumar, I think his last election affidavit revealed assets of about 195 crores. 11 crores of cash, even if found, would be about 10% of it. 10% of your income, of your wealth, if it is in cash, there are several explanations for it.
Okay.
Let us not jump to conclusions as that every income tax raid necessarily ends up in a disclosure of income.
Okay.
Why is it that every detail, cash recovery, everything before the income tax department?
Yes.
Gives it back to its superiors.
Okay, Mr. Hegde, I'm going to have to interrupt you over there. I'm completely out of time on this debate, but the larger issues remain unanswered. But what actually happens as far as these recoveries are concerned, are they substantial or not? No clear answers at this stage. Thank you all very much for joining us. I need to quickly move on now to another big story. Sources have told
for that you have to wait.
Contrary to Chinese claims, there has been no Indian troop reduction in the contested Doklam Plateau to the east of Sikkim. I have this report. A document publicly released today, the Chinese government has said on the 18th of June, 270 Indian soldiers crossed into the Dokhla area, advancing more than 100 meters into what they say is Chinese territory and obstructing Chinese road construction. That's a Chinese claim. Now, as many as 400 Indian soldiers eventually entered the area to ultimately go about 200 meters into Chinese territory, again a Chinese claim. At the moment, they say there are approximately 40 Indian soldiers facing off against the Chinese army in the area, in the Doklam Plateau. However, sources have told NDTV that this information is entirely incorrect. It's factually inaccurate. At the moment, between 350 to 400 soldiers remain deployed on either side. Now, according to China, the China-India boundary in the Sikkim sector has already been decided by an 1890 convention between Great Britain and China relating to Sikkim and Tibet. India says the tri-junction area in the region is problematic. It's not been decided. It's not been fully agreed upon at all. That's the center of the problem. The Chinese say in this document, India's intrusion into the Chinese territory under the pretext of Bhutan has not only violated China's territorial sovereignty, but also challenged Bhutan's sovereignty and independence. But India and Bhutan have very close ties. The document doesn't say so. China also says China will take all necessary measures to safeguard its legitimate and lawful rights and interests.